When you do everything you're supposed to do out there, America, when you get your education, when you get your master's, you get your doctorate, and you still are unemployable, and you still are unable to participate in buying property and amassing wealth and being safe in the streets with you and your family, I think America is going to speak up louder than you can even imagine.
They voted for Trump.
Barbara, that's what's happened. That's the perfect close to this conversation today you just laid out there. That has exactly been, that's the symptomatic of sea change in American society. What you just laid out there is part and parcel why this country has taken on the Donald Trump agenda. You just said it very eloquently, and that's why we're where we're at.
Well, the big question on everyone's mind, it's a gender thing, or is it? World peace, religion, sex, money, politics, climate change, big business, big ideas, and big egos. Nothing is off limits. As I'm joined by some of the most accomplished and highly opinionated women from the far left, the far right, and the far reaches of the planet. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure.
Well, the profound question we're going to answer on the show today is the behavior of Americans following the election symptomatic of a sea change in American society. And of course, we're talking, the most recent general election in 2016, but you can go back before that, 2012 and 2008 as well, and see how the country has shifted. And we're going to talk about some of that. I want to read you some really interesting quotes. While the general election this past time was happening and President Trump was in campaign mode, as well as a whole lot of candidates, there were some really fascinating comments and quotes from, ordinary Americans and folks that are both Democrat, Republican, and independents. In fact, the independent movement is the one that's swelling. Actually, the Democrats and Republicans are losing more and more, Americans as part of those political parties. There's a swell going on in the independent, which is really the center of the country, more or less, Interesting quotes there here, though, for you to keep this in your mind as we talk forward here with our co-host today. I'll introduce in just a moment here. This one gentleman who's a Democrat says this out of Michigan. His name is Stephen. He says, many Americans feel a breath of fresh air because someone is finally just saying what most people think anyway. Now, this is a Democrat out of Michigan that was speaking about Donald Trump in campaign mode, that a lot of Democrats obviously voted for Trump, and this is one who said, this guy's just saying what most people think, but they're afraid to say. Interesting analysis from this particular American. Another independent said from Albany, New York, Mary says, I think he's woken some people up to see the damage that's already been done to the fabric of America by allowing illegal immigrants to remain and take up their jobs that should have been protected by our government. And I know that's something that Barbara McGee would agree with because she has talked about jobs and the lack of our government interest in them. She joins us as co-host on the show today from Los Angeles. Also from Florence, Italy, Sally Fernandez joins us. We're going to have an interesting dialogue today. Another interesting quote I want to read to you is a Democrat from San Francisco, and we know there's a lot of them in San Fran. Her name is Nancy, and she says, Trump promotes bigotry and racism. He encourages indecency and uncivil actions by giving license to attitudes that engender conflict and friction. So you're getting a crossbreed of comments that people felt. Another independent out of Wisconsin, Annette, says he is stirring up a lot of emotions. He has a right to say what he believes. People who don't like him are causing most of the problems. They need to just shut up and vote for who they want to. These are all comments coming into this election. You get a sense of where people were. A lot of them were saying, enough is enough. Others were saying, bring it on, bring it on. And others were saying, shut up already, you're saying too much. I guess I'll start the dialogue here. I want to go to Barbara McGee first in Los Angeles. Barbara,
yeah.
I would like to say to you this. You hear some of the comments I just shared with you. These are from just regular, ordinary folks across the country, okay? And I think part and parcel, the problem that I see, in my opinion, that Donald Trump has had with both the far left and the media and a lot of people who are nervous. And a couple of the comments I just read to you were very favorable toward him and some were not. Was that he was a man who made a lot of people nervous. But I think a lot of the baggage and a lot of the problems he's dealing with now that he is president were really, in my opinion, were self-induced from a lot of his commentary, some of his off-the-cuff comments, the fact that he was unscripted. Now, I will say to you this, Barbara, the fact that he was unscripted was very attractive to a lot of Americans. They thought that was like the coolest thing since sliced bread. I mean, they haven't seen a politician do that like since how about ever. So this guy being like a strange an anomaly who just happened to fall into the political realm was like really exciting to some people. And then other people were like, shut up already. So it was like it was good and it was bad and it was bad and it was good. And but yet now that he's president, those people who thought it was bad, they think it's like really bad. And they've sort of turned the channel off already. And they're some of his worst critics. Does that make any sense, Barbara?
Well, yeah, I think so. And, you know, I want to start off by saying, you know, we're all Americans. We're all Americans, and we all must be tolerant, first off, of one another in our own country. And I think that this particular election has really brought a new precedent in the sense that the neighbor that you speak to over the fence says one thing on the internet when they're behind closed doors. Their response is one response. But in all actuality, what they really believe is another. And you'll find that what they believe is not what they entrust you with. So we have cognitive dissonance going on in the sense that we're for, like you'll find with a lot of women, like myself, you know, have an affinity for Donald Trump because he was quite a character prior to even being in the political realm. And now that he's in the political realm, it's like, well, he used to be my favorite reality television star. So I'm having a real problem with him setting policy for the people in America. So I think this is the first time out of all the times that I think people feel that they're not really being represented appropriately.
You know, Barbara, I want to ask you something on that point. Can I say something here to you, please? I tend to come to the understanding with you in the past many shows, rightfully so. You vacillate between on days that you think he that you like him, like what he's doing, you want to give him a chance, and other days where, well, you're not sure you're questioning. I guess what I'm saying is you believe the jury is still out, obviously, but you're trying your damnedest, I think, as a Democrat and as a liberal American. You're doing your damnedest, I think, to try to hold back a lot of high-strung opinions and references, I think, is what I gather. But some days you're sure and some days you're not sure. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt because he is the elected official. And so I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be the kind of person that is negative, constantly feeding into more negativity. And unfortunately, having met Donald Trump in another arena, he would not ever be my pick for a person to represent me on any level. So I wrestle with my personal understanding and relationship with him and the political relationship that he has now elevated himself to. So, you know, my personal agenda and what I feel when I'm behind the scenes with the various things that I do as an entertainment person really weighs in and bleeds over. So I try not to share that.
Barbara, I want to pick on what you said as we toss to Sally here and get her input. But I want to say this to you. Something you just said triggered me a memory back of what Sally had said. On a handful of occasions on this show and otherwise, I've heard her say kind of the same thing you have. I think, and I'll let her speak for herself in a second here, but I think she could have said the same words you just said, actually. And let me address that for you to know. Your thoughts on that are not far removed from where probably conservative Republican Sally is, because she said kind of the same thing to me. He wasn't the first choice or somebody she was looking for to represent her or the country either. Now, Sally, is that pretty well a true statement back then, or is that wrong?
I absolutely agree with Barbara in terms of the trepidation between Trump as a president versus a reality candidate. For me, I didn't have a choice. As a conservative, I had to vote for him. But every day I just pray and hope that he's going to make the right decisions for the country. But it's still out there. And, you know, we were talking originally about, this whole conversation about a sea change. But thus far, we talked about opinions. But it's really been interesting the kind of behaviors that people have exerted or exhibited since the Trump election. And I don't see it as a permanent sea change, although I may be wrong. I think it's temporary. I think we've gone through this before and we can go back to the 60s.
Sally, it's very difficult, you know, for a lot of us that are Americans. You know, when we hear this thing about a sea change, and that's relegated to perhaps the population wanting to go back in time or go back to the good old days, you know, we have to really stop and think about, well, who was it good for? Who participated fully in the American dream? Who was allowed the opportunity to expand, to have great family values? Who was allowed, you know, from the position that I came from as being born to African American parents and having them both work hard and be in the middle class, you know, they faced a deluge of racism. They operated against the main flow of America. They were the minorities working for their own personal success and the success of their family against the mainstream. So, and in spite of, you know, so for me, there's nothing, and for the section of population that I represent, which includes women, Native Americans, we're not looking forward to going back to anything.
But again, Barbara, if you talk about, I mean, we're not talking about going back to anything. We should be moving forward. But when I referred to the 60s, it wasn't going back to the 60s, but it was looking at where this behavior, where this, you know, this exhibition of negative behavior is coming from after the Trump election. And I don't think it happened overnight. I think these are behaviors that developed over time, have been cultivated. In the 60s, you know, teens' opinions were being shaped by rock bands and the music of anti-war, anti-establishment. Now, all of a sudden, we've got everybody's attitudes are being shaped by liberal press, by social media, by sound bites. And so I think, you know, it doesn't really, in terms of your opinion of whether you're ideologically liberal or conservative, you like Trump, you don't like Trump, the behavior that's coming out of this is really disheartening. And, you know, and I know that, you know, you've talked before, we've talked before about the discourse, and we really need to come together as Americans. But the exhibition of hate is really stunning. Perfect example, in California this weekend, John Burton, the head of the Democratic Party, stepped down as he was on the podium in this convention with his arms up in the air with Nancy Pelosi. And I think the music in the background was "She's a Lady." He ended his statement by putting his finger up in the air, his middle finger, and chanting "F Trump." He got the entire audience with their finger up in the air chanting "F Trump." Now, that is not decorum on any side of the aisle, but it's that negativity, and it's more than opinion. It's the behavior that is so.
Yeah, I've seen that video, Sally. I did see the video. It is very, very striking. In fact, I received that video in simultaneously from four different sources who wanted me to see it immediately because they were shell-shocked. I received it in from military officials. I received it in from other columnists and radio folks who said, Malcolm, you got to see this. They were stunned with that. Did you see it, Barbara?
Well, actually, like I say, I was speaking to several hundreds of people at a graduation in San Diego. But I will tell you this, that is that FU sign and the whole bringing it to the forefront. Let me just say this. There is a gentleman, I think his name is Ali Mama, maybe. I hope I didn't mispronounce that. But he is what is considered to be the number one artist right now and activist in China. And in order for, now he is heralded because of the fact that he has turned his art and the middle finger he has taken and he has put the middle finger next to the president's house, the all of the constituents that make the laws in China. He has shown the people, he's gone to jail for making these pictures and having his freedom of speech by using the FU with the hand sign in pictures, and he's selling his art for millions of dollars. And all of a sudden, he's created an awakening for the Chinese people that, yes, we have money, but we have no freedoms. And I'm going to show you through making this sign that even though we have money and we have every attribute that money could bring, we don't have the freedom necessary. So could it be, now I'm not in the minds of either one of those politicians, but that is a new trend. And a shame on you if you didn't know about it. But this is what's happening. And this man has gone to jail. He's been released. I think now he's somewhere close to you, Sally. I think he's in Europe somewhere. And he's creating a whole new phase of work that will also have the middle finger in it. And it will show the irony of how we think we're fine, but we're really not. That's what that's really
about. Well, but to me, you know, what they do in other parts of the world and expression of art, and there's lots of disgusting art in well-known museums in the U.S., but I'm just talking about democratic leaders with such disdain and such lack of decorum against a U.S. sitting president is, to me, that really kills the whole game right there. And what are they doing to their leaders? I mean, they're just all these young people, that's what they're looking up to. I mean, they should have more respect for their country, more respect for the presidency, and they should be working to make this a better country. And so, you know, right now I'm on my anti-liberal rage bent, because that happening with graduates at Notre Dame walking out on Mike Pence this weekend. I mean, there's just too much going on. And the behavior is just beyond the pale.
Oh, all right. So, Sally, let me tell you, when you work toward a graduation, when you work toward a doctorate, a master's degree, you've mastered your area of study within the college that is recognized globally. And if someone represents something at your graduation that you don't have any affinity with, now mind you, these are some of our scholars, our leaders of tomorrow, who were all in Indiana under Mike Pence. And those were the people, to the surprise and the chagrin of the other graduates, who got up and walked out. So that speaks volumes to me. When I'm thinking about someone who is smart, bright, young, and has promise, but also was a constituent of Indiana, and they got up and walked out. So that should tell you something right there. And the other
what it tells me is the young people today have zero respect.
Well, now, wait a minute. I'm sorry, Sally, but do know this. At a commencement speech, where the school is paying for someone to come and speak, I mean, we would like to probably hear at your commencement speech, I mean, if there was someone who was representing something that you didn't agree with. Now, let me tell you, many people, the point you made a minute ago about Donald Trump not being respected, you have to remember that Donald Trump has never lived by respecting others. In his private life or in his business life, he never respected anyone except those that he admired or he thought he could get something from. And we watched that in our living rooms on television for years.
And First of all, I wouldn't use the word never because we have no way of knowing.
Well, no, I tell you that we have watched that for years.
You have watched a character.
We have watched him at his best on his own reality show. That was not scripted. That was him at his best, giving his direction and his philosophy in business. If you read his book, you'll find that out. So that is the problem that he is having. That's an individual problem.
Okay, so let's take Trump is the problem. Trump is, it's his rhetoric, it's his issues, his policy, he's all wrong for America. Okay, let's just take that as kind of the middle road. So, does that allow all of this negative behavior to happen? Does that allow people it's causing rise in hate crimes, it's...
Okay, all right, so let me stop you right there. Okay, first off, getting up and saying, I do not agree with the speaker that is speaking, and they do not represent me, and walking out because I've had a prior experience with them in my state, is not negative behavior. What is negative behavior is the racism and the conservative agenda that has brought out all of these people. And I say this with candor and with decorum, because I do believe that everybody has a right to believe whatever you want to believe.
One person is not responsible for all the negative behavior. These are traits that people have learned over time. And maybe Trump, you know, threw out the match and lit the fire. But there's also liberal media with a whole bunch of boxes of matches of their own.
Let's pick that point up after the break here, ladies. That's a great point to make with the exchange there. And let's pause a quick moment and reset on the symptomatic sea change in American society. It's an interesting dialogue. We'll be right back with Barbara McGee and Sally Fernandez. Well, we're a new breed of talk radio, and with a new breed of host and shows to entertain and inform you. It's America Out Loud Talk Radio, with shows like Blue Lives Radio, OPSEC Radio Special Operations, shows that impact your health, like The Misdiagnosed Life, The Dr. Stem Show, What's Inside You, Mind, Body, Energy, and our newest show, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Thank you for sharing part of your day with us here at America Out Loud Talk Radio Network.
And you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. I'm your co-host, Barbara McGee, coming from Los Angeles. We have today co-host Sally Fernandez, and of course we have Malcolm Out Loud, and we're discussing the sea change in America after the recent election of the president. And Sally just made a great statement about how she felt that things are being negative and all of a sudden all this bad behavior is coming forward, just to give you a recap. But you know, if we stop and think about the rallies that were around the country, that we watched on television, as you would see a sea of Trump supporters, and then you would see someone say with a, you know, what about your views on Medi-Cal? What about your views on housing? What about your views on Black Lives Matter? And he would turn to them and point with his finger, get them out of here. And all of a sudden, the mob, the crowd, let me get it straight, the crowd would turn into a mob. And then the safety of those people who just wanted to know what are your positions on these issues, which are American issues also, were forced out, dragged out, beaten. I mean, I think that was a problem and set a precedent.
I want to get back to this sea change. To wrap up that in a neat box with this exchange back and forth with where you're at, Barbara, and Sally, the comments you make, I just want to say this much. Donald Trump was a showman. He was an entertainer for many years. He very successful businessman, went through a lot of different periods of journeys of in time where he reinvented himself, but that's pretty well an American story. That's a great thing. That's not a bad thing. But as a showman and an entertainer, he would sometimes and frequently enough say outlandish things. Show people do that. They do that to get a rise out of people. So that's kind of inbred into his mindset, Sally. He's trained that way. He does it. I think where some of the disconnect happens is when he started doing that in the political realm. If you remember, Sally, through the Republican primary season, it was like the Howdy Doody hour or the, you know, the some comic show for sure. I mean, he would call Little Marco, Little Marco. He had names for everybody. It was absolutely, we had never seen anything like that in American politics. He would call Jeb Bush all kinds of names. I even forget the name he called him. What was it? Something. He had a name for everybody, you know? And he did this in a very theatrical way, but it became really much the talking points on the comedy shows in the evening. It became a laughing stock. I think what's happened is this. It's been very hard for this president to get over that. Well, that's exactly why he made a lot of people nervous. He made you nervous, Sally, which you've already said on this show. He made a lot of Republicans, a lot of conservatives nervous. In fact, he was having a hard time uniting the party for a long time, Barbara. So it's not unusual that we understand there are some problems there now that I think have been self-created, but it's because he was a showman and he said what was on his mind. Now, some people found that very uniquely refreshing. We have never seen that in politics because everything politicians do is overly scripted. So back to the sea change. Why did America embrace this as a sea change? And why was that? After the country did the Hope and Change tour with Barack Obama back in 07, 08, and 09 when he took office, Barbara. When that happened, that was another sea change that was like happening in society that was like overwhelming. It was like a tsunami coming in to many people. Like, where's this guy coming from? And a lot of people had troubles with that as well. So the country flipped to that side. And now with the Trump phenomenon, the country flipped to the other. I just read you some of the comments from Democrats, Republicans, Independents alike that had some very fascinating things to say. Some people you wouldn't expect said some very kind words about the Trump phenomenon. Others, not so much. Do you see where I'm going with this as far as this sea change? I think that there's been a lack of leadership. I think maybe you both will agree with what I say maybe next here. But I think there's been a lack of leadership for a very long time in Washington, D.C. You have to look back for a long time to get any real leadership. And it's happened on all sides of the political spectrum. And I think that Americans have got to the point now where they're grasping so much that they're like, you know, it's like just being at the slot machines in Vegas where they start running through the halls, just starting to pull the slot machines down. They just want to win somewhere. Just give me a, you know, they're looking for the winner, the savior, somebody to come in to provide some sort of, back to you say, decorum, leadership, American pride. I think that's been the shift off and the problem of the sea change. I think Americans are starving for leadership. Yeah.
I agree with you, Malcolm, but I think, I don't know. The prejudging is, you know, we don't know if Trump's going to do a great job or bring this country down. Everything, there's no real results yet, but everybody on the left has predicted he's going to destroy our country, and everybody on the right is kind of looking for this robust economy coming. So how do we bring it together?
Sally, I want to tell you something. Sally, on that comment right there, it's the same thing that happened in 2009 when Barack Obama took office. Republicans did not give him a chance either. And they damned him, and they thought he was, they really didn't want to hear what he had to say. They fought against him. Congress fought against him. So are we seeing, my bigger point here is, are we seeing the same thing back in a deja vu, but on the other side, Sally? Is that possible?
Exactly, exactly. And it's going to shift back and forth as it always has. And so, I mean, if you look in terms of what's happened with Trump in his first 100 days, I think there was a study that came out a couple of days ago from Harvard University, believe it or not, and they actually said that 80% of the coverage on Trump in the first 100 days was negative. And only 20% was positive.
And that's an overarching number. CNN was 93% negative, 7% positive.
I know. But if you look at the Obama administration, and Barbara might not like this, but during the Obama administration, there was a recession. There was loss of jobs. And that can obviously everybody blame it on Bush. But that was the situation during the Trump administration. There was high college tuition. He restarted the war in Iraq. He maintained the war in Afghanistan, but I don't recall any anti-war, anti-establishment protest, any anti-anything other than the racially motivated protest and riots that were against police officers, which I think Obama inflamed by not condemning it outwardly. So, okay. I mean, just for, no, and now we've got all these protests about a president who hasn't even had the opportunity to really do or make any major changes. So I just don't understand. It is pure hate and coming from the slant of the media.
Let's not put it all in one basket, okay? Because first off, let's remember that Barack Obama was a great president and was a great statesman and was an intellectual.
And that is your opinion, Barbara. That's your opinion and not shared by a lot of people.
No, it's not in my opinion. It is documented that he went to his, look at his credentials. He started out in Chicago and he worked his way up in terms of doing things for the little guy, the little American, the person that doesn't have all the bells and whistles that the rest of working Americans have. He started with that and then moved up representing a diaspora of people out of Illinois. Now, when we look at President Trump, who is currently president, plus his wife, very accomplished, the both of them. Now, I'm not saying that Barack Obama was the best president, but what I am saying is I did feel I was being represented. It had nothing to do with really his color of his skin, but the fact that he resonated with the people. Where I have a problem with Donald Trump is Donald Trump, prior to being in office, Donald Trump carried himself as a sexist. He carried himself as a philanderer. He carried himself, and this is documented, I witnessed him, you know, being dishonorable to women, being dishonorable to women in his pageants. I don't have, you know, I can do without men who are a very sexist and very dangerous in the workplace. I mean, people that I have to walk on eggshells and walk around because I'm afraid they might tell a racist joke. They might talk underneath my skirt. They might say something that is very offensive to me or one of my coworkers. I might witness that. All of us women have been in that position. And this is not something that was fake news. This was something that was reported that we heard with our own very ears. And that I have a problem with. But now, when it comes down to him being president and what's happening now, the backlash that we see in America, I think it's being fueled really by social media. I think it's being fueled by our media. I think our media puts everything to a slant and a negative slant at that. But I do feel that any time you have someone who carries themselves in such a misguided personal level, when their personal level is misguided. We are on alarm when they're in a position of power, especially when what they do relates directly to me and you. Now, about people protesting, let me tell you something. That is our legal right out there, America, for you to protest and
not violently.
You feel like you're not being represented. This is what we do. Now,
okay, Barbara, we're kind of taking, I'm talking about the violent protest. I'm not talking about protest. I think protest is a very good thing.
When you have police that shoot and kill children, and you don't see an uprising of people that are parents, I represent an organization called 1,000 Mothers to Prevent Violence. And let me tell you something, several of those mothers have lost their children to police brutality and violence. That does not represent the force, but represents their own personal agendas when they wear the uniform. And
I think this is opening up a whole different conversation, and it probably would require an entire show, starting with why I think Obama has really hurt us tremendously, and it's going to take us years to get over. But again, that's another conversation. I the other day, Malcolm and I did a show with Dr. Christian H., and we were talking about millennials. And I was having a problem seeing where millennials were really going to have a contribution in terms of in society, in terms of the way they're focused between lifestyle and working and so forth. But I learned a lot from Christian. And if we talk about a sea change in behavior, what's happening right now is pretty horrible. And I blame a lot of it on Trump. But I do think it's temporary. And I think if he comes up with results, all of a sudden it's going to die down. If he does a horrible job, then we'll lose the White House and it will change from that reasoning. But I think millennials, because in 2020, they're going to represent probably half of the population. And I think they might be the biggest force between changing the shape and where we go forward. And the reason I say this is because one of the things I learned through the conversation is that while they are very liberal in their thinking, they're very secular, they're very diverse, where I think more than 40% are non-white, they're very liberal in their thoughts, but they don't necessarily subscribe to the democratic ideology. And they're more interested in performance and results to meet their expectations, whatever, you know, what they're looking for in their lives. So they could be a major shift, and even from a shifting toward conservatism, if they think that it's going to provide them better jobs and education and so forth. So, you know, for me, all of this hate, all of this negative behavior, as much as I feel that I'm nervous about Trump and his actions, I still think we need to give this guy a shot. The policies I believe he's putting in place are going to be good for America. But we need to see, and there's no evidence whatsoever that what he's done thus far is going to hurt us.
Well, we're going to know just ahead. There's going to be two big factors for Trump. One's going to be the domestic policies economically. The restructuring of our tax code is going to be key. What he does with the business environment, is it going to be more successful for entrepreneurs to be able to launch their businesses? And the tax burden that people are carrying in America is significant, while our government still purchases $900 hammers and, you know, waste money, really like drunken sailors on the high sea. And this has got to stop. But and this is clearly where I think we are at a moment of some real truth, back to the millennials taking over, Sally, with the fact that they will be the majority of the program shortly ahead here. And we are at a moment of truth. This president is either going to be successful based on those domestic policies that have to be good for all Americans, not just the poor that are on welfare or the rich, but we're really talking middle America. This is where most of us live, is the middle mainstream of America. So that's going to be key, as well as the foreign policy is going to be key because of the key of terror. And because terrorism can change overnight our position here back at home, it can completely change our agenda. So these two paths forward are going to define his presidency and are going to define whether Americans are willing to let go a lot of that showmanship as to what's gotten him in trouble, which I already laid that out in the first segment with both of you, Barbara and Sally, that my opinion is because of that showman, I've documented what you've been talking about. This is what has gotten him into trouble, very, very much so. As far as the whole sexism thing and all that, you know, Barbara, I think a lot of people live in glass houses. Quite frankly, there are a lot of people who you could say would not get an award for this area we're speaking about. When it comes to, whatever, sexism, racism, what have you, there's a lot of bigotry and stupidity out there. Now, at the same time, as we say he didn't do this, he didn't do that, you know, I think there's another side people don't want to admit to Trump. He has promoted an enormous amount of women. He has hired minorities very much throughout his establishment and his business and empire. But that doesn't change the fact that there have been times he's been crude, has made obnoxious comments and things that have been offensive. And again, this is now to some people, they find that very attractive, Barbara. If you look at some of the comments I said with you coming into this, they found that as one of the things that were very interesting and unique about this man. I, like Sally, found much of it very repulsive and very much not in the way or flavor of what it is to be American. So we stood up for thinking, and you know, I criticized Trump many times on national radio. I did not support his agenda. I did not support him as a candidate, but I went after all the candidates across the board. And that's what I am as a truth sayer. And that's what I delivered always in my analysis. And we're going to deliver more analysis in just a moment with Sally Fernandez and Barbara McGee. We'll be right back with you. You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. It's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. You'll find a whole host of shows and a great lineup back at AmericaOutloud.com. And also, get the apps. We now stream 24/7 on Android and Apple. Just look for America Out Loud Talk Radio. As I say, the two big things, domestic and foreign policy, both are very, very key for what's going to happen again. And those will define this president, rest assured. There's a wave of nationalism happening in America now that we haven't seen in some time because we had started to move toward more of a global outlook. In fact, that nationalism has also overtaken Europe. Many independent countries in Europe are trying to re-identify themselves. Barbara, do you see the wave of nationalism in America as a good thing or a bad thing?
First off, I'm a nationalist because I'm an American. And I'm proud of it. And I believe that we should have our ability to work, earn, live, breathe clean air, drink clean water. And I don't think anybody has a right to regulate any of that.
Okay, so Barbara, then I want to say this. Then you would be more likened to the Trump agenda than the Obama agenda, then based on that measurement, because the nationalism is now what's become hot under Trump, whereas Obama was more of a globalist. And so that kind of realigns a few principles that you would be more aligned with this movement now with a lot of people in America who like this nationalism. They want American pride back.
Well, I'm not saying that we ever lost our pride. I think what we lost was control on how our economy, I mean, I don't know if you know, because we all live in different places in the world, but just a small city like Oakland, California, you know, it has actually tripled in rents. And the rents, the mortgages have doubled, but the rents have tripled. In San Francisco, the rents have tripled. So if you had a studio apartment, you paid $2,000 maybe 7 years ago. Now you're paying almost $7,000 or $8,000. And in the Bay Area alone, if you're not making $100,000 a year as one person, you are going to be under the poverty line.
Well, now what you're speaking about right now, economically, Barbara, I think this has played into this symptomatic sea change that we're speaking about here, that this election was a sea change in American society. And I think that's why you're speaking about it. People haven't been financially secure in quite some time. You know, that great recession that happened where they started bailing all the auto companies and the banks between Bush and Obama was pretty treacherous to our country, let alone the Bush and Obama doctrine, and I'm going to call it that, have created a deficit in this country of over in excess now of $20 trillion.
Let those kids that are making, you know, we got 37 more billionaires in the Bay Area. So there are ways to make these companies and these newfound billionaires. I mean, just recently, in the past 5 years with some of these dot-com companies, these companies have the ability not only to hire Americans remotely, but they have the ability to bring back the customer service to America and create those lower level jobs like the $10 to $15 an hour jobs.
We've actually addressed some of those jobs coming back, Barbara, on this show. We've talked about Apple. We've talked about other companies who are wanting their cake and eat it too. And they've taken their jobs overseas, but yet they expect Americans to buy their expensive products. I mean, Apple is the poster child for this. I've brought this out before on this production.
Mm-hmm. But that's what Trump is trying to do, is try to lure them back. But he's giving them incentives.
He has been all over that, Sally. He's been all over it. In fact, Tim Cook came out just in the past couple of weeks and floored many of us with a comment that he was going to start to manufacture and produce products in the States here, which is what Trump has been calling for from him. And with the election, it was kind of poo-poo. A lot of people said he shouldn't do that. He's been trying to bring back this pride of nationalism. And actually, a lot of what he says and does, I've listened to you, Barbara, now through multiple shows on this topic, and I have to tell you, you agree very much and align with a lot of principles that the current administration and president has put out there for nationalism and jobs.
I have a different agenda with that, because I want America to know that you can be proud of who you are, whether you're white, black, gay, straight, it doesn't matter. You're an American, but you have to make change on a local level. We have to stop the division trying to figure out, are you conservative, are you Christian, are you Muslim? You have to start in your own neighborhoods. We have to start by stop shopping at Walmart. We've got to start by stop buying into these chains. And I hate to say it, but we need to start having the mom and pop stores again and shopping there and not caving in to these corporations that don't include us but demand that we spend money on it.
Except the corporations are the ones who employ people and the ones that pay the tax dollars.
They employ some people.
The mom and pops are not going to be employing people or paying lots of tax dollars.
Well, let me tell you something, Sally. If I start a business and I hire 10 people in my community right here where I live, I'm doing America a better service than if I'm just sitting talking about what I'm going to do and just shopping at Walmart, where it's destroyed the local community that used to have 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 stores that we could divest and shop at.
Barbara, you have no argument from me on that point at all. None, zero. Totally agree with you, 100%.
That's how we have to take America back.
So, Barbara, I agree with you. Sally, do you agree with those comments she just made?
I agree with the comments that if you are small mom and pop employees and you have 10 people and you bring back your communities, but you're going to have to coexist with these other large chains too. Because
well, listen, here's the deal. Here's the deal. I mean, the power of the purse is the power of the purse. Quite frankly, if you don't like Walmart, don't shop at Walmart. If you like Walmart, you shop at Walmart. Now, Barbara, you don't like people that shop on Walmart? Tough shit. It's not your business. It's their business. Now, listen, hold on. Now, if you want something more different than that, then you start an organization and you go after the big companies. I know you have a thing against big business. I get that. You know, less concerning to me. I'm very supportive of small, middle America. I'm very supportive of independent businesses. I prefer to do business with them. I'm not the cat that you'll find walking through a Walmart. You know you're not going to catch Malcolm out loud in there. I got news for you. I go in there and I get the shingles. I get the hives. I can't stand those places. But that's just me. But a lot of people love those places. They make it a daily trip. You know, who the hell am I to say not? I mean, you love Walmart, go shop it. You love Kmart, you love whatever. I don't care. I mean, you don't like those big companies, but you know, this is an individual choice people have. Yeah.
Well, it's an individual choice, but I think that these companies that do not train their employees to be expert in their area, that bring on Christmas help and then drop them off at the first.
That's a show I want to do, Barbara. That's a show I want to do on customer service. I have a whole lot to say about that, believe me.
It's horrible.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's the worst. This is something I speak about on stage with audiences. And I really believe that the people who shine, whether you're a big business, whether you're a small business, a medium-sized business, those who really shine, Barbara, are the ones that really put a focus on customer service, attention to detail, and really look out after their customers. Those are the ones who are going to do very well in the future because we're a customer service-driven society.
Exactly. And I think that the mom-and-pop businesses, the way that we used to experience and engage when we spend our money, is the way that I think that these young people who are millennials, because you see, Sally, what happens is when the customer service department is over in another country. Now, I'm not saying bad things about that country, but their standards are not the same. So what happens is we lose a certain standard and chain of care for the client. So here I am spending my money and spending it, like you say, with Apple. But then all of a sudden I go to the store with my product and I'm treated differently because I called and got one solution. And then I show up in person and I get another solution. So I think this is what has happened to us in terms of how we can change.
Well, listen, the freedom of personal choice is alive and well in America. And if you don't like the level of service you're getting, or you don't like that company for whatever reason, it doesn't matter what the reason is, you have the power of choice. The power of the purse is the biggest thing you can do to anybody you don't like. There are a lot of people who don't like Starbucks. Okay, they don't like their political agenda. They don't like what they're, you know, they were going to go out 6 months ago and hire all illegal immigrants. They did a big boastful PR campaign. I mean, what a bunch of assholes over there. You know, we're going to go hire illegal immigrants. I mean, that's like the most stupidest thing. Well, they got caught with their pants down. And guess what the next campaign they released was? Now we're going to go hire our veterans, our military veterans. That was the next talking point. Because you know why, Barbara McGee and Sally Fernandez? Because Americans said, shut up already. We don't want to hear what you're going to do, Starbucks, with illegal immigrants. We don't want to do business with them that are like that. We don't want to do that with those Starbucks of the world. And that became, do you remember that, ladies?
I remember. Absolutely.
I do. And you know what? They didn't hire either one. it was a way to get more people. It was what, you know, we got to get out of these talking points, because that was one thing that was ushered in by the Trump election, was the fact that we no longer had an agenda or a political platform to talk about or to debate or discuss. We only had these talking points, and a talking point is neither yay or nay. It's a yes or no. It's no conversation. And that has been really an issue for me.
Well, Barbara McGee, you issue or not, you'll have to look at your pals in your political party who run the media. The media circus they've created from the far left, it's what's created that dynamic you're speaking about right now, my love. That's where that dynamic comes from. And anybody who denies that is just not looking at the truth.
Well, I wonder what would have happened if Bernie Sanders would have gotten the Democratic nod.
Let me tell you what would have happened. A lot of people were interested to find that out. Trump would have trounced him in the final campaign. Trounced him. It would have been a larger victory than there would have been with him and Hillary. That's my prediction.
What do you think, Sally? Very interesting. point.
I absolutely agree with him, because what they wanted was a different direction. And Bernie Sanders was taking us further to the left in the same direction that Obama was.
Middle America was not going to, that's right. Middle America was not going to sign this country up for the socialist economic voodoo plan of Bernie Sanders. Wasn't going to happen.
The reason Hillary lost is because the Democrats underestimated how strongly the once middle class people felt about being let down by the system. So they saw their prosperity slipped away and they basically got ignored. And that's why Hillary lost.
Well, let me tell you something. If we as Americans are not guaranteed an opportunity to participate, when you do everything you're supposed to do out there, America, when you get your education, when you get your master's, you get your doctorate, and you still are unemployable, and you still are unable to participate in buying property and amassing wealth and being safe in the streets with you and your family, I think America is going to speak up louder than you can even imagine.
They voted for Trump.
Barbara, that's what's happened. That's the perfect close to this conversation today you just laid out there. That has exactly been, that's the symptomatic of sea change in American society. What you just laid out there is part and parcel why this country has taken on the Donald Trump agenda. You just said it very eloquently, and that's why we're where we're at. But I believe in people's personal freedoms. I believe in their rights to achieve great things, Barbara McGee. I believe in their right to a terrific education. I also believe in their right to get off their ass and earn it. And on that note, we'll continue taking this forward again. It's a great topic, a great conversation. I've enjoyed it. I hope you have too. Catch us every day. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of pleasure. We are doing it, friends. 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Encore at 11 p.m. Anywhere in the world, you'll hear us from our apps. We podcast the next day. Thank you for being part of this journey with us today. Tell your friends and loved ones and associates about this great conversation you're hearing right here at Life Liberty. It's happy to have you with us. Sally Fernandez, Barbara McGee, this is Malcolm Out Loud. To be continued, friends.